This is BraceNetRadio.com. BraceNetRadio.com.
Welcome to Vocal Point on BraceNetRadio.com. Each week, we will examine issues that concern all Christians living in today's culture. Politics, theology, world affairs, citizenship, ethics, and personal responsibility. And now, your host of Vocal Point, Jerry Newcomb on BraceNetRadio.com.
All right, and in this program, at least part one, we'll be dealing with the personal responsibility part just mentioned there by our good friend. And we're going to talk with a man who has written a book that seems like it's about sports, but in reality, this book is far more than that. It's very, very motivational. The book is called Coach Wooden's Greatest Secret. And I've got to tell you a secret before I start here, and that is, honestly, I could care less about sports. I look at the sleeve of this book, and it's recommended by all these people, and I don't know any of those names. And it doesn't bother me that I don't, because I just don't care. But this book is very good reading, even if you're not interested in sports. Again, it's called Coach Wooden's Greatest Secret, and the author is Pat Williams. And I've interviewed him before. I understand he has something to do with the Magic, which is a basketball team, I guess, in Orlando. They do those sort of things, I suppose. But, Pat, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for being with us.
Jerry, it's nice to catch up with you. And I do want to point out to you that a basketball is inflated and not stuffed. To get you a good head start here.
Okay, but, good. I'm very interested in the Christian origins of so many things. A lot of people don't realize that the game of basketball was invented in the late 1800s in Massachusetts in one of the YMCAs at a time when the YMCA was thoroughly evangelical. So it was in a Christian context that the game of basketball was invented. Now, that's not what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on instead these kind of motivational principles. First of all, I guess Coach Wooden, who died in 2011, I understand he was the best coach ever, apparently.
Well, the Sporting News some years ago did a listing or a poll, and they got 50 very, very sharp, bright sports people, and they ranked the 50 greatest coaches in sports history. And Coach Wooden, they had ranked number one.
Wow.
He was a remarkable man. He coached at UCLA from 1948 until 1975, won 10 NCAA titles in 12 years, including 7 in a row, which is just remarkable when you think about it. Huh. But beyond that, Jerry, he was a remarkable man. A man of great, great principle, great depth, strong in his faith, strong family man. And he had wisdom. He had a remarkable amount of wisdom, which is a rare quality, by the way.
Right.
And he was very willing to pass that wisdom along.
Sure.
Through his books, through his speaking, through his counseling. He was a teacher at heart and loved to teach, far beyond basketball. So this book, which has a fascinating beginning, and I'll share that with you at some point.
Sure.
But it's the third book that I've written about Coach Wooden, and what a privilege to really examine his life and share many of the principles that will allow people to enjoy success.
Sure. All right, well, Jesus said this. He said, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in much." That's Luke 16. And I find that in a very real way, this book, that theme of being faithful in the little things, and then you go on from there, that's the key to everything. In fact, here's a quote from Coach John Wooden: "Big things are accomplished only through the perfection of minor details." Another quote: "The closest I can come to a secret of success is this: a lot of little things done well." Now, what was the thing you wanted to share about the opening of the book?
Well, Jerry, Coach Wooden let me into his life in the last decade of his life, which, you know, I counted as an enormous privilege. One night, we took him to dinner, and we always went early to the Valley Inn, his favorite place to eat, near his home in Encino, California. And I'm sitting there, and I said, Coach, you've been around a long time. I said, could you point out one secret of success above others in life? And then he said in that wonderful understated way, he said, the closest I could come to one secret of success would be a lot of little things done well. And Jerry, I thought as he said that, I said, boy, that'll preach. Mm. I said, that could be a book someday, I said to myself.
Wow.
And hey, sure enough,
yeah,
it's happened. And it was quite thrilling to see that book as it came out this month, earlier this month. And I thought that that's really what was part of the genius of John Wooden. You know, dealing with little things, getting on top of them as far as his practices were concerned, and as far as his dealing with his athletes, his own personal life, tending to your character, all comes down to just a series of little things that are popping at us every day. How do we handle them? How do we deal with them? And how do we get on top of those little things before they become big problems in our life? And I think that's really was a huge part of John Wooden's outlook.
Sure. What's interesting about this book, too, again, I just don't care about professional sports. But this book was very interesting to me. So, for example, you had many illustrations related to wars. And you gave an example from World War II about a disastrous battle plan that didn't succeed because at its heart it was too complicated. And you could tell us about that, the bridge too far idea.
Yeah, and it was an incident in World War II. And it was just a battle that should have been handled simply, but it was too complicated and it got too tricky. And, you know, as a result, it didn't work out. And I think that's where John Wooden would be teaching us, you know, keep things simple. Life is not all that complicated, but we tend to make it complicated. Mm. And we tend to get things gummed up by taking what should be a pretty simple operation or a pretty simple approach, Jerry. And we want to get it all covered with French pastry, you know, and get it all jazzed up. And, you know, oftentimes that just leads to a disaster. So I don't care whether it's in war or in sports or in your daily life, you know, take care of the little things, keep them simple. And John Wooden would tell you, stick to the fundamentals.
Yeah.
Get the fundamentals of basketball nailed down. You'll have a good team.
Yeah.
And get the fundamentals of life,
sure,
you know, resolved, you know, life becomes a whole lot more manageable.
Right. And you give an example. Again, this book is motivational, but deals with all these different issues. So, for example, you talk about writing and speaking. Be clear. Make your point. Don't give us gobbledygook. Don't obfuscate the facts with your highfalutin language. So, for example, this is fascinating. On page 54 of your book, you talk about how after the Boston Marathon bombing, the mm-hmm. Department of Homeland Security actually sent out there was a story quoting the top safety official in Massachusetts that said this in response to the federal auditors. And this is an actual quote. It is our hope that by conducting this and other state audits, the DHS, Office of Inspector General, gains an in-depth understanding of the realities of implementing this highly regulated and complex grant program, which differs from many other federal grant programs in that it entails initiating entirely new operating methodologies and programs, buying, installing, and effectively utilizing sophisticated equipment and infrastructure, and continuously coordinating with a wide range of stakeholders to achieve myriad programmatic outcomes. What? You know, it reminds me of the old saying in college that said, you know, when you're taking a test or something, if you can't baffle them, I mean, if you can't dazzle them with your brilliance, then baffle them with your baloney.
Yeah, I'm chuckling. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And Jerry, it reminds me of something that happened to me some years ago. I was writing a book on public speaking, and I was tracking down as many people as I could who were teachers or professors or, you know, really, or did it, you know, and I would just ask them, what are the three or four keys to being a good public speaker? So I was able to track down Bob Shepard, who for 60 years was the PA voice of the New York Yankees and had a voice, you know, like the voice of God. And so I got him on the phone. He was in his 90s. And in his real world, he was a speech professor. So I said, Bob, what are the three keys to being a good public speaker? And over the phone, he said, Pat, the three keys to being a good public speaker are the same three keys I used in my work at Yankee Stadium. Be clear, be concise, be correct. And I thought, woo, I'm going to write that down real quick. And I said, boy, that would clear up a lot of issues, wouldn't it? Between husbands and wives and parents and children and bosses and employees and coaches and athletes. And you get that going in the United Nations. Wow. Be clear, be concise, be correct.
Be clear, be concise, be correct. I like that.
I think that's how Jesus communicated, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely. And we're still...
Be clear, be concise, be
exactly.
correct. And again, that's... Simple and direct and a little thing, Jerry, but boy, it goes a long way.
That's true.
Just in our verbal communication.
And even sometimes when he would teach with parables, there was always a very clear message in those. And sometimes the Pharisees and religious leaders that didn't like him could, you know, understand that, he spoke that parable against them. Now, speaking of being simple, listen to what Ronald Reagan said. I like this. This is in his inauguration address when he was elected as governor, California, January 5, 1967. So here he's swearing in as the governor of California. For many years now, you and I have been shushed like children and told there are no simple answers to the complex problems which are beyond our comprehension. Well, the truth is, there are simple answers. They're just not easy ones.
Hmm.
Very good. And Reagan, I look at Reagan, boy, talk about the need for this kind of message. It really needs to be heard in the realm of politics. And I think Reagan is the master in our time of a great political leader. But it's really, I guess this whole thing gets back to the art of simplicity.
Well, that was Reagan's great strength. And, I'm fascinated, Jerry, with the great communicators, be it Jesus in his parables and Mr. Lincoln in his yarns and Ronald Reagan in his tales. By and large, the best communicators are outstanding storytellers.
Yeah.
They really, really have perfected the art of telling stories.
Yeah.
Chicken soup for the soul, right?
Right.
And... Because we are hardwired to retain stories, not PowerPoints.
Right.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Well,
so to be a great speaker, great communicator, great preacher, you know, you've got to really understand the power of stories.
Do you mind if I tell you a quick story real fast from Ronald Reagan?
Okay. I'd love to hear it.
I understand that Ronald Reagan, he said this in a speech one time, that he liked to collect jokes that the Russian people would tell each other in order to try and ameliorate the misery that they were under the Soviet system. So this is going back 20, 30 years ago. So here's his joke. Okay. First of all, the setup is, in order to buy a car during the days of the Soviet Union, it was very, very difficult, and only party members could do it, and even only a fraction of them, and so forth. You had to pay the money well in advance, go through all sorts of different bureaucratic hoops, get all the paperwork stamped, etc., and then finally, when you were approved to purchase a car, then the delivery would come years later. So this man went through all the hoops, paid all the money, and was there at the desk with the bureaucrat, and the bureaucrat said, okay, you're all set. The car will be delivered to you 10 years from now. And the man said, oh, in the morning or in the afternoon? And he said, comrade, it's 10 years from now. What do you care whether it's the morning or the afternoon? Well, the plumber's coming in the morning. See, now, with this joke, Ronald Reagan was able to show, wow, there is a difference between communism and free enterprise.
I love it. Good for Mr. Reagan.
Yes.
That's a beauty.
Now, Coach Wooden had a lot of maxims, otherwise known as Woodenisms. I have your page, your book open here. He said, don't measure yourself by what you have accomplished, but what you should have accomplished with your ability. And later in your book, you talk about how, you know, we shouldn't just settle for giving 99%, but Federal Express, for example, considers 99% failure. They go for the 100% if possible.
Yeah, because listen, Jerry, if it was only 99, and that's 1% of all their business that never got delivered.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, you're talking thousands of packages, thousands.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it would be a disaster.
And I don't want to be with the 1% of the customers if that were such a case. But this is a good point. Here's another maxim from John Wooden: discipline yourself, and others won't need to. Can you comment on that?
Boy, that makes sense. I spoke this morning to a convention here in Orlando, and we got on that same topic. I was talking about my children, you know, and when they were younger, you know, I had to provide the discipline. You know, here's the deal, kids. Here are the rules. If you step over the line and can't live by the rules, here's the discipline I'm going to provide to you. But there's a certain point, Jerry, where that ends. It really happens when they leave the house and head to college or into the military or whatever. And if they can't discipline themselves, they're heading for trouble.
Yeah.
And so there's a certain point where parents have to let go. And at that point, self-discipline has to kick in.
Yeah.
And if the young person can't do it, well, then eventually, you know, the authorities are going to have to step in and do it.
Yeah.
And so that's why self-discipline is so vital for a successful life.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Coach meant.
Yeah.
That you've got to be able to pull that trigger and be a self-disciplined person. And if you can't, you know, you're really looking at a very, very difficult life ahead.
Yeah, I'll repeat that quote. Discipline yourself and others won't need to. Okay, we're talking right now with Pat Williams, who has written a book called Coach Wooden's Greatest Secret, The Power of a Lot of Little Things Done Well. As I said before, I'm not a sports fan, but this book is rich in material that's motivational. Anybody who wants to make more of your life. You know, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And motivation is good when it's geared in the right way. And this book gears it in the right way. Pat Williams is Senior Vice President of the NBA's Orlando Magic. He has more than 50 years of professional sports experience. He's written dozens of books, including two other books on this gentleman, John Wooden. PatWilliams.com for more information. I'm enjoying going through these maxims of Coach Wooden, so let me go through some other ones. Ability is a poor man's wealth. What does that mean?
That's a good point, isn't it? Ability is a poor man's wealth. Well, I guess, Jerry, if you've got ability, if you've got certain talent, you're rich. You're wealthy. It doesn't matter whether you're wealthy financially, but if you've got certain skills and you've developed or that the Lord blessed you with, good for you. You know, utilize them.
Yeah,
that can become your strength in life.
Yeah.
I think that's how I would answer that.
Sure, and you know, we all have something. I mean, there are some people who can do something better than anybody else. We're all uniquely gifted. The issue is to use these things. That's what makes, to me, the whole welfare state so tragic when millions and millions. It's one thing to have a safety net, but it's another thing to have millions and millions and millions of people not working and giving up on life and just, you know, living off the dole. It's a human tragedy.
I buy that. I buy that. You know, we all should be out doing something and using our gift.
Yeah.
Or gifts that God has given us. I think we've got an obligation to society to put them to good use and make our contributions. Doesn't matter, you know, whether it's earth-shattering headline talent, but we all have great, great gifts, and we need to really utilize them, Jerry. That's such a strong point. Such a good point.
Good. Now, here's another.
I feel as you do on that one.
Here's another Woodenism. Ability may get you to the top, but it takes character to keep you there. Character.
Yeah, you know, that's such a strong point. And, you know, when you think about John Wooden and the success he had at UCLA, how about 7 straight NCAA championships? And he had talented players. But through all that run, boy, it's awfully easy to let your character slip, you know, and get caught up in all that and all that fame and, you know, start cutting corners in your life. The beautiful thing about John Wooden, none of that ever happened. You know, there's nothing in his life that would be scandalous. He had a faithful marriage, raised his children well, you know, never got caught up in alcohol or fame or glory. You know, it just never happened to him. Mm-hmm. And to me, that may be the best thing about all of the things that happened to John Wooden, that he kept his sanity. He kept his feet on the ground. Never got swept up in all of it. All the glitz and glitter, you know, that goes with success. He stayed well grounded, and his character never faltered.
All right,
you're not going to find any scandal with him.
All right, let me ask you a question. Can the story of John Wooden, this great successful coach, be truthfully told if they leave out his faith in Jesus Christ?
I think his faith anchored everything, Jerry. You know, he was a strong Christian. You know, it meant everything to him. Faithful churchgoer. He was not a preacher per se. He was not an evangelist. You know, he was not a sports-oriented Billy Graham. But everybody knew where he stood. And everybody knew that his faith was the anchor of his life. And he was not ashamed of his faith. So I would have to say that, you know, his faith in Christ really allowed all this to happen. I think God honored him with his, you know, because of who he was and because of his Christian stand. I think God really honored the man and knew that John Wooden could handle fame and glory, which he had in abundance, does to this day. But it never really corrupted John Wooden. You know, he remained a very, very humble, you know, down-to-earth guy.
Wow.
Billy Packer, the broadcaster, Jerry, once said to me, John Wooden is the most humble, famous person I've ever met. Mm.
That's good.
That's quite a tribute.
Yeah, that is. I like that. Here's another Woodenism. Little things make big things happen. Little things make big things happen. Can you comment on that?
Well, Jerry, that's the meat of this book.
Yep.
You know, that's the heart and soul of this book. When over dinner that night, Coach Wooden said to me, the closest I can come to one secret of success is a lot of little things done well.
Wow.
And his practices, Jerry, for example, boy, they were timed down to the second. No wasted motion. No wasted words. I mean, it was just like precision. You know, every detail covered. Boom, boom, boom. His practices were just awesome to watch. And that's how he approached it, and that's how he took care of things. And, you know, no wasted time, no wasted motion. You know, we're going to stay on top of all the little fundamentals here of basketball, and we're going to teach during the practice sessions. And players to this day, you know, they're older now, they're elderly, and they still recall, you know, with wonder, you know, how John Wooden ran his practices.
Mm.
And that allowed them, I think, to perform well in the games because they were so well prepared and knew what they were doing.
So one of the points of this book is it's not okay to cut corners.
Oh, I think that would be so true, Jerry. You know, you can't do it. There's just no way to finish up and have a great finished product if you're going to skip steps along the way. So I think that's what Coach Wooden is saying. Take care of the little things along the way. You know, they lay the foundation for big successes. And if you're going to try and cheat and try and cut corners and try and eliminate some stuff along the way, it's going to catch you at some point. You know, it's going to nail you. It's going to catch up with you.
You know, you had an.
I think that's true of every aspect of life, really.
You had an interesting point in there. You were talking about how Mayor Giuliani cleaned up New York City using the same basic principle. Pay attention to the little details. Watch the subway panhandlers. Watch those who are painting graffiti and so forth. Look out for the broken windows or the, you know, it just when little things start to accumulate, they make big, big differences. But it was by following that principle of cleaning up the little things that Giuliani was able to clean up the big city of New York.
Yeah, I think that's such a great, great example. And those guys with the squeegees, you know, to wash your windshield.
Yeah, I remember those.
Oh, gee, oh boy. And he got all that cleaned up, you know, it just took it one step at a time. And it one squeegee guy, but it soon became 100 squeegee guys. And every time you'd stop at a red light, you know, you're dealing with another one. And, oh boy, you can't have that. And, so he began to get on it and eliminate it all. And little by little, you know, New York became a very attractive place to visit.
Oh, yeah.
And still is, Jerry.
Yeah.
I know we're running out of time, but I got to share with you.
Sure.
My favorite Coach Woodenism.
Okay.
And here it is. Make each day your masterpiece. That's my all-time favorite. Make each day your masterpiece.
Wow. Okay.
And so to have a great life, if you will just focus on today and make today a masterpiece day and then do it again tomorrow and the day after. Listen, if you do it for 99 years as John Wooden did, oh, you're going to have a wonderful life. Mm. Make each day your masterpiece. There's a good challenge for all of us today, Jerry.
I think so. And we have 30 seconds remaining. Anything you want to say in closing?
Well, I'm delighted to talk to you, Jerry. And people can always visit my website. It's patwilliams.com. The Twitter page, Orlando Magic Pat. And the new book is out. It's called Coach Wooden's Greatest Secret. Ravel is the publisher, and I'm so glad that we could talk about it. I hope people enjoy the book. It's in bookstores now, and Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com are a wonderful way to order books.
Sure. And again, for the non-sports fans, of which I count myself one, this book is much more than that. It is. It's got wonderful secrets of life. Hey, thank you so much, Pat, for being with us. God bless.
Call anytime. God bless, Jerry. Good to talk to you.
All right, you too. Bye bye now. That again was Pat Williams, and his new book is called Coach Wooden's Greatest Secret: The Power of a Lot of Little Things Done Well. Well, we're going to shift gears in just a moment and talk about something related to politics. We're going to talk with a wonderful Christian attorney who has filed a friend of the brief court or friend of the court brief fighting against the injustice related to Obamacare and the HHS mandate. We'll find out more details in just a moment when Herb Titus joined us on Vocal Point.